iHeart 3D Audio.
This episode of The Office Deep Dive is brought to you in iHeart 3D Audio. For maximum effect and fun, headphones are recommended.
Hi, I'm Oscar Nunez, and I played Oscar Martinez on The Office.
Hello, everyone. Oh, this is a special one. Welcome to this very special episode of The Office Deep Dive. I'm your host, Brian Baumgartner. Now, I don't know if you have noticed, but do I sound a little different to you today? It feels like I'm in your head, right? Like, look, I am in your right ear hole, am I not? And now I am in your left one. Now, don't freak out, guys, okay? I am not actually in your head. Today, I am using a very special little device, the Zoom H3 VR audio recorder. I have to tell you, this thing is so fun. It captures 360-degree sound. So we're joining iHeart's 3D audio campaign to try one of these puppies out. And to make it even more fun, I have decided to come to my favorite place on the planet, Torrey Pines Golf Course here in San Diego, California. Now, for you folks who don't know, Torrey Pines will be hosting the 121st U.S. Open this year, June 17th through the 20th. I truly cannot wait for that to happen. Excuse me, one moment, it is my turn. Nailed it. Anyway, I'm having so much fun here. I almost forgot I have a job to do. I have to interview today's guest. Not that he's a forgettable guy. No. In fact, I would say today's interview, it is actually unforgettable. For better or worse, you decide that. It is with my good friend, Oscar Nunez. Now, where to begin about Oscar? Oscar, well, first off, Oscar is truly one of the funniest people I have ever met. Truly. He makes me laugh harder than any person on the planet, which is great, except it's a problem when you're shooting a television show. Yes, he made things very difficult for myself and for Angela to keep it together back in the accountant's corner. He's like a comedic chameleon, which is to say he changes shape and tone, comedy styles for whatever fits the exact moment you're in. He is hilarious. So when we're doing these interviews, right, I was very well researched. And the day that we're gonna interview Oscar, I ripped up the papers. I just said, this is not gonna do us any good today, guys, because what we're gonna get is what we're gonna get. It's gonna be funny, but I don't know if we're gonna get any astute observations unless Mr. Nunez is in the mood, because he is very difficult to pin down. But I have to tell you, of all of the interviews I did, this was the most fun. I hope you have fun listening to it. But either way, you can sit back now and listen to me working my hardest to get a serious answer out of Oscar Nunez. And now, while you're listening, I'm gonna go play some golf.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
How is it locked?
What kind of a crazy outfit is this?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hi, you guys. Is this it? Is this where I sit?
Yeah, that's where you sit. You picked it up really well.
So it's a podcast, right?
You're an idiot.
It's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Okay. No video.
No.
Okay.
Do you want to be videoed?
Nah, sometimes podcasts have videos.
Did you put on You put on makeup?
A base,
stuff?
Just a base.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we on?
Yeah.
Because you're speaking in the mic like we're on.
We're on, yeah.
There's no action, there's no starting. We just start like this, like...
Go ahead. It's like Ken Kwapis.
Like Marc Maron does that. He just starts in like that.
Yeah, that's how, yeah.
All right.
I'm like Marc Maron.
Okay.
No, we're just chatting. We're just getting to know each other again.
Oh, brother.
What
brings me here?
Yeah, what brings you here? Why did you come in? No, I'm being serious. What were you doing before the office started?
First of all, you have way too many notes in front of you. You've got like reams of paper, like sheets.
I'm trying to keep the paper business a hot commodity.
And you're taking this seriously, and good for you. Good for you. Are your parents listening?
Would you try to take it seriously?
I think I would, yeah, to an extent.
Look at all this paper. I've never used this much paper in my life.
I know. What's on it?
Here's the thing that you have 4 pages.
Why do you need notes?
This was this was Andy Buckley was like 95 pages.
Why? How much information
I need?
You were on the show.
He has a lot to offer.
In what way?
He was the boss of the show, right? He was in charge, which makes him important.
Was he on for the all seasons?
No.
He wasn't. He came in later.
No.
It stands to reason that I would have, you would need more paper for me.
I know,
I was
that's the thing. You would think that.
But that's not the case.
Mm-mm. No, there's only 4 pages
here.
You
know, I was drinking a soda and I forgot to bring it in. Can I have one of your, by the way, people, he's got 15 people working for him here. There's a booth. It's very professional, everyone. It's lovely. I am taken aback. I'm sorry. What did you ask
before
me? What was he doing?
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was catering and I was babysitting.
You were catering and babysitting?
Yes.
People let you look after their children?
Not at the same time. Yes, they did.
Okay.
And guess what? He's alive and he's a grown man now and he's fine. So there.
You babysat for just one boy?
I babysat for a couple of families, but one particular family, and I'm still friends with all of them and they're wonderful. And I babysat him like for, I swear to God, I think 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, he was little.
Were you his nanny?
He had other people. But I was the fella. Yeah, he had 2 babysitter women and 1 guy, and then we would take turns. And you know, his parents would sometimes call me, sometimes call them. But I, you know, babysat the kid for 10 years, more or less.
So you were catering, you were babysitting, but you were working in
In what?
Go ahead.
It's like a play, and now I'm walking across the hallway, and I'm stumbling. Oh, I fell. You guys, I'm doing Foley work. This is really sweet.
Yeah. This isn't a Foley studio, though.
No, and yet.
And yet you do it.
And yet it happens.
And yet you do it. So you were, but you were trying to be an actor. I mean, you were, sorry, I shouldn't say that. You were doing improv, too, right?
No, you're right. I was trying to be an actor. You're right. I was an actor, yes.
Were you at Improv Olympic?
No, I was in the Groundlings.
You were at Groundlings.
Yes, and I was auditioning stuff, but my day jobs were catering and babysitting. I had to do other things to support myself. Jobs were coming in here and there, guest spots, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
When you got the audition for The Office, had you watched the British version?
Oh, yes. Yes, and loved it. Thought it was great. Ricky Gervais is very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, I thought, we'll do the pilot and that'll be it. We'll do the pilot. I wasn't that excited. I'm like, we'll mess it up. Us being America. I'm like, oh, they're not going to do it right. They're not going to leave those long, awkward pauses. They're not going to go for the awkwardness. You know, it's just not going to happen. So I was happy. I was excited I got the pilot. But I was like, I'm not going to quit my day job. Also, at that time, you remember, I'm sure the people know by now, because we've been off the air since 62, so we've gone over this. When we were all cast, the lead wasn't cast yet. They were looking at,
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk, my buddy Damon Jones, Andy Richter?
Andy Richter came in.
And who else? There's a fourth guy that I always forget. But all these 4 men are lovely, ladies and gentlemen, and Damon's a personal friend of mine from the Groundlings. They're all lovely, and I still thought, okay, that's fine. But then Steve was working on something and it fell through and he became available. And when they said Steve Carell is going to be the lead, I thought, wow, this is special. This is like something's happening here.
because I was such a huge fan of his from Anchorman and all that. But I really thought I loved The Daily Show when Jon Stewart was on. But I used to love Steve on The Daily Show. And when he got on The Office, I thought, we've got a shot at this because I think he's great.
Yeah. And did you knew Angela before the show, right?
I did.
How did you know Angela?
I believe from The Groundlings.
Okay.
And I didn't know she got the job. I showed up for work and she was there in her accountant's office. And that's like a actor's dream come true. I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh my God. Angela, we're on this show. We're on this bloody show.
And what did you think of me? Because then it was just you and Angela. And then I was like the new guy.
Weren't you there already? Weren't you there for the pilot?
Yeah.
It was.
So clearly you don't have any recollection about meeting me.
It was Kay Flannery who wasn't there.
Yeah, that's true.
No. I knew you were funny from the commercials. I knew who you were. You had that deli commercial out.
Yeah.
Which was brilliant.
Well, thank you.
And I'm like,
that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Well, look, I knew you were. I'm like, this guy's funny and talented, but I know how funny Angela is. And I'm like, oh, they don't know how funny. They're going to find out. They must have known from the audition, but her character doesn't let her be. Your character lets you be funny right out of the gate. And Angela and I had to hold back until the show got up and then, okay, let's let them be a little crazy now.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember?
Nope.
Clearly not, really. But shooting the pilot, do you remember us coming in every day on the pilot and doing 30 minutes of busy work?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, just to go back a little bit, Ben and Greg were very protective of the original show, and that was really cool. I remember him talking about, oh, no, we're going to have those. There's not going to be a laugh track, and there's going to be long. And I was like, woohoo! That plus Steve, I'm like, okay, here we go. And I remember people are like, they're such good actors. And I'm like, well, you're playing like you're in the office, you're on your computer, you're doing something on the computer, and you don't want to be bothered by a camera. That's pretty easy to do.
Right.
See, that's the thing. People are like, where does the thing take place? It takes place on a satellite, or it's a station on a satellite, or it's underwater, and it's the future. It's like, no, it's a garage taxi. It's a garage with people. That's it.
Right.
It's a bar. That's it. It's an office. What do you sell? It doesn't matter. It's paper. It could be anything. It's the characters. It's not where it is, a laboratory in space in the future and whatever. It's just, it's character building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you used to do when we were supposed to be doing fake work?
Gosh, I don't know. I would doodle. Did I bring a book in? I pretended to work, and I don't know. It was.
We used to pass notes.
We used to pass notes back to each other. Angela still has some doodles that I did back in the day. It was very exciting to be there. So everyone has to just kind of – is it? Can you hear the card?
Yeah.
The microphone picks up everything, ladies and gentlemen. I was playing with a card. And Brian literally slapped it out of my hand because, God forbid, I go the other way. I want them to hear like clinking of glass. And it's real. We're real people.
You're building your own soundscape.
Yes, I am. but it had to be a boring workplace. And as a matter of fact, like some things worked. And I remember like the B-roll, the camera would scan. And some people knew they were being shot. And some people would just act normal, like nothing was happening, or they didn't want to be shot. And other people would try to do bits.
Right.
And don't do the bit. Don't do the bit.
Right.
Because it's still funny to see someone just looking over and like rolling their eyes like, what do you want from me?
Right.
I'm trying to do some work. We were boring before the cameras showed up. It wasn't a pilot for us. We're office workers. It's a documentary.
Right.
It's the best.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Did you bring anything? You know, like they asked us to bring in like personal items and stuff. Did you bring anything in? Like John had the picture of he and his best friend.
They didn't pay me enough for that. I was just a extra when I first got there, bringing something from my own life. Make me a regular. Then we'll talk. They're lucky I was there. What am I going to bring in? You know what I brought in? Seriously, a picture of me and my dog
on
a boat. And I had it on the thing.
It was there the whole time, right?
It was there the whole time. So I did have my dog. She passed away recently. Miniature Schnauzer, the best. Lila was her name. She's a little black mini Schnauzer, and she was there in one of my pictures on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I bought in.
The second episode we shot was Diversity Day.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Not good. Excellent script.
Yeah.
From a young 17-year-old who used to show up on his skateboard
BJ Novak. How much did I hate him and still do?
He was 17 at the time?
No, but he was young. I'm saying that for comedic effect. He's so talented is my point. He's so talented. That was a really good script.
It was a very good script.
So good.
It has in it, for me, one of my favorite jokes in the entire show.
What was it?
Michael asking you what he could call you that was less offensive than Mexican.
Was that that episode?
Yeah. Something less offensive.
God. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. He's like, Oscar. And he was so serious about it. He's like, Oscar, and trying to be gentle. Is there something less offensive that I can call you? Oh, man. And he would flip the chair around. When he turned the chair around, that you knew, and everyone just had to bite their tongues so they wouldn't laugh.
Yeah.
Because that would make him extra serious.
So was it offensive for you as a Cuban to have to play a Mexican?
What kind of question is that? He's giggling, everyone. Oh, look at me with the funny questions. No. Look at me. Let me try to trip him up. What if I said yes? What if I'm like, I was deeply offended?
No. I mean, like, why? Yo, what's wrong with being Cuban? That's my question.
I don't know. I think.
Why was Oscar Martinez Mexican?
I don't know why they made him Mexican. I would have been fine if they would have made him Cuban.
Here's the thing. I think it was because of that joke.
Oh, right. I guess. He could have said Cuban. I think he would have been Cuban because we're in Pennsylvania. If the show shot in L.A., there's more Mexicans out here. But on the East Coast, that's where all the Cubans were. But either way, the joke is funny. It's ridiculous. Because Michael Scott got away with so much stuff because he genuinely was coming from a place of innocence. That's how vapid. He's like, Oscar, is there anything less offensive? And he's like, no, it's not offensive. And he's like, well, he's still not convinced. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm Mexican, I'm telling you. Well, okay, if you say so, you know, F you. And then you would hate him, and then something horrible would happen to him, and then you'd feel sorry for him. And then he'd reel you in, and you're like, oh, he's not such a bad guy. And then he does it again and again. That was the circle of the show. That was the circle of the show. It's a wonderful formula.
Yeah. Were you at the time aware?
Wait, I'm pouring. People?
Now everyone's just going to have to go to the bathroom.
Well, if they have to go, they have to go. We'll still be here. Hit your pause button. Can they pause a podcast?
You don't know if you can pause a podcast?
Yeah, you can, right? On your phone. People are listening to this driving around in their cars, whatever, right?
Please, somebody make a note to not ever use that. Were you aware, though, at that time, like, did it feel taboo what we were doing? Did it feel like we were doing something different, talking about race in that way?
I love edgy stuff. I love not being condescending to the audience. I like being an intelligent show. It's like we didn't have to explain ourselves to the audience. And I think if it's genuinely funny, you could pretty much make a joke about anything, but it's got to be funny. If it's not funny, I mean, they'll let you know. The show was intelligent. The show was very funny. It came from the right place. His character wasn't mean. He wasn't a bully. Everything was organic. There was a reason. If he was upset, there was a genuine reason why he was upset. He wasn't picking on you because he's a terrible person. Something happened and he's like, I'm upset and this is how I'm going to act out. But there's a reason why he's doing it.
Right. Have you watched Diversity Day recently?
Maybe I shouldn't say that. I've never actually watched the show per se, but I shot it. We were there. We shot the show. Everyone went home and people came back and talked about it. And that's how I got my information about the show. Don't like to see myself perform. I'm kidding. I watched the show. There's actors who don't like to see themselves perform.
I don't watch a lot. Do you watch everything you do?
No, I don't.
You're self-indulgent. What?
No, I don't. I don't.
No, be serious now.
I don't. I don't watch everything I do.
I do. I watch very little.
Brian, I watched this every Thursday while we were shooting, and then one time I went back and binge-watched the whole thing. One time.
Me too.
And maybe there were two okay episodes. The rest were good or really good. I was so impressed.
See, I still feel like Diversity Day holds up. Like, it holds up.
Oh, that one, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But they all kind of do a lot of, like, yeah. I said, I think there were two that I'm like, oh, what happened there? But just like one or two out of nine seasons.
Right.
That's very good.
you know, one of the signature episodes of the show, and certainly for you, was Gay Witch Hunt. How and when did you find out that Oscar Martinez was actually gay?
Okay, I will ask that. But before I answer that question, I want to talk about the people on the show as people, not our actors or whatever. Greg Daniels is such a cool guy that I needed a way out of the show so I can go shoot Halfway Home on Comedy Central, because When It Rains, It Pours, ladies and gentlemen. And I was like in a dilemma, and I remember asking Steve Carell, he was walking across the parking lot, and I ran up to him like, Steve, I love this show. I love being on it, meaning The Office, but I have a meeting with, not meeting, they wanted to do a show with Comedy Central. We're past the meeting part. Comedy Central wanted to do a show. What do I do? What can I? And he said, Oscar, do everything. Don't say no to any work. Do everything. Figuring it out is not your problem. That's up to your managers and agents. Say yes to everything. They'll figure it out. And I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. And Greg Daniels figured it out. What a lovely man. What a lovely human being. Oscar, you get to, we'll figure a way to get you out of the show, go do your 10 shows or whatever, and then come back and we'll fold you back in.
So Greg let you leave for how many episodes?
I think a season.
It wasn't a full season.
It feels like it. There's a season where I'm not there.
Yeah, you were gone for a long period of time when you were shooting Halfway House and he let you go.
I had to do 10 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, so was this his device?
Yes.
For allowing you to leave.
And it was fantastic. Yeah, I don't know which came first. I think they were going to make me gay anyway. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think so. And then they're like, oh, let's make him gay and get him out this way, which is a great way to get him out. How crazy that he's like, I can't work in this hostile environment because this. But meanwhile, he's like, I'm just play acting. I'm going to go with my boyfriend and I'll be back, you know?
Right.
It's because people do that.
Right. To get out of work or to get
Oscar really wasn't. He wasn't. He's smart.
Right. Here's a fun fact.
Is it going to be fun?
I don't know. At the time that you were outed on Gay Witch Hunt, your character, Oscar Martinez, was the only LGBT person of color to be a regular on any sitcom at that time. Were you aware of that?
And why didn't they have a thing for me, like a parade or an honorary something? I wasn't told or given anything.
You were given nothing?
No, that's a big deal.
That is?
That's a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's the first one. I'm like Barack Obama. Not to say...
You're like Barack Obama.
I'm not saying... Your words, not mine. I was the first LGBT guy to be out, to be in a series.
Person of color.
Yeah.
That was both, not just one. But how do you feel about the fact that you weren't, that you're not really gay or a person of color?
I'm a person of color. I'm a Latino.
You are? I don't see colors.
Oh, brother. I think it was great, and whatever helps the cause is fine by me. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, you won awards, right?
Just how I planned it. No, I don't think I. I was nominated for some gay award, and I took my two gay friends with me.
GLAAD?
Maybe, yes. And I went with my friends, Michael and Joel, who I've known forever, and they're gay, and they were rolling their eyes. They're like, you asshole, you're not even gay. And I'm like, look at me, I'm better than you guys. You guys, you got to get on board. And they're like, oh, my God. Joel was in act up, like fighting the fight for real. And he's like, gee, good Lord, what is happening? I'm like, don't be jealous. it's funny.
Did you feel a responsibility?
To the gay community?
Yeah. Or the Latino community?
They should be lucky to have me. The gay and Latino community.
No, I know. But did you feel
count their lucky stars.
Do you feel a responsibility?
Do they feel a responsibility to me? Ask them. What? Turn the tables around.
Well, probably not now.
I didn't.
You'd probably be shunned from the LGBT community.
No, I disagree.
Really?
I think I'd be raised up high. The kids would get it. They'd raise me up high. I'd be invited to YouTube videos. All sorts of shit would be happening. Here's the thing.
You'd be invited to YouTube videos?
Yeah, the kids, that's what they're doing now, Brian.
That's the best thing that somebody could offer you is a YouTube video?
That's what they're doing. Believe it or not, they get millions of hits. Now, listen. This is the deal. I never thought, the pressure of responsibility, because I knew that the show was golden, that we were a responsible show to begin with.
Yes.
So it's lovingly taken care of everything. He came from a place of he's compassionate,
But he's a bit of an asshole too, because he's a little bit of a snob, just like me. That's where they got it from. You know, for the show being, people are like, Michael's so mean. It's a very gentle, compassionate show.
Yes.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Did finding out that you were gay change your character?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't. It couldn't change my character because I was already gay.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting that you realized, like, no, I'm just a guy.
That's right.
Who works in an office.
That's right.
And the fact that I'm Latino or the fact that I'm homosexual
that's
or
right.
like those things don't define who I am.
That's right. But this is happening now. It wasn't happening while we were shooting, but now because of Netflix, I'm getting a lot of people coming up to me and going, I came out because of you. And then, you know, this just specifically like this, we're some Comic-Con and this beautiful a young lady in a elfin outfit with blonde hair, just striking. And she comes up and she's like, I came out because of you and my girlfriend doesn't watch the show, but I'm going to bring her back tomorrow to meet you. And she did. She came back with her just as beautiful girlfriend. So those things are cool. And yeah, and that's because of the show. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's trippy. They're like, because of your show, I came out and you helped me so much, et cetera, et cetera. Some of them are happy. Some of them are crying. It's a crazy thing.
Really?
Yeah. The show means so much to so many people. You know that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
You think you're just doing a show. I didn't think. I'm not even like a my character isn't particularly noble. He's just a regular guy and they see so much noble. They're just seeing you makes it so cool. I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You mentioned before that you're just like Obama. When Obama...
Or better? Can I say that? Is that... Do you know what I'm saying?
What, do you remember when Obama was elected?
Yes.
Do you feel like there was any discussion on set or did anything happen around set when Obama was elected?
It was very traumatic because it was the first time in my life where the president and first lady were younger than I am, and it's going to happen. That has it happened to you?
No.
It's shocking. It is awful. And I'm like, oh my God, I love them so, and they're so young.
Right.
But do you know the two letters we have at the office? Remember, you know what they are, right? The two letters that came in?
No.
There was one letter, a fan letter, one by catering somewhere backstage.
Aaron Sorkin. Okay.
And then Steve Carell came in with a letter sent to his house. And he's like, you guys, I want to read you this letter. And it's like, oh, dear Steve, I just want you to know that at the White House, the office, Thursday is family night. And Michelle and I and the girls get together. And it was a letter that the president sent Steve Carell because the Obamas are a fan of the show. And he said he showed it to his children and they were little. And they're like, can we touch? And he's like, nope, just look. Just look. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And certainly over in accounting, you were really the straight man. Like you had your idiosyncrasies.
Yes, I think so.
But in the office, you were the barometer of reason very often.
Jim and myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what they're talking about in the coalition of reason.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Are you, you know, if you're looking at sort of the history of comedy in a way,
Oh, come on. You can do it. Brian, I believe in you. Ask your question.
The archetype of the straight man sort of in the history of comedy. Can you talk about that a little bit? Is that easier for you to do or is that harder?
Oh, they're both good. It's apples and oranges. It's lovely. It was a lovely character because he's a straight man, but he still has a little bit delusions of grandeur, which you need because that you need that.
Right.
Right. That.
Well, nobody's perfect or
nobody's
totally straight.
No.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Angela was a little off too. She was almost there, but then she was a little off. Everybody was a little off. Right? Toby, every single, even Jim, he was too much of a prankster. He didn't take the job seriously.
Right.
He was a little too, right?
Right.
Juvenile.
Right. But you know, I think so many of the scenes between you and Steve were so special.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
he Oh, I had to be a straight man in those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You just sit there and stare at him. Just stare at him.
Well, and you would do that.
Well, he said things,
and
yes.
You would get the laughs.
Yeah.
Because you did that.
Yeah, that's all you had to do, stare at him. And people at home would go, what is he thinking? He can't say anything. It's his job. He's being good. And now he's excusing himself. Thank you. And just get up and leave. Right? Because he's like, Oscar. And it's the buildup, the fucking Carell buildup. Oscar, can I see you for a moment? Sit down. Ask you something. I'm going to go in for a colonoscopy. And I was, what can I do to make it more comfortable for him or me? And he just trails it off and just leaves it. Like it's a solid, like a reasonable question to ask me. And I'm supposed, what am I supposed to tell him? I think I just excused myself. I'm like, okay, Michael, I just got up and left.
You found out that Steve was leaving. How did you feel about that?
When on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for real.
It was very sad.
It was very sad.
Oh, yeah. It was very sad. And I didn't want to cry because I'm Cuban and I was, So everybody was crying very freely. And I did cry when we were in the warehouse and we gave him a stupid hockey shirt or something. Then yeah. I did have to excuse myself and went back behind the boxes and cried. And because freaking Paul Eberstein started crying. And then I'm like, oh, man, this is just crazy.
Right. What did you think at the time or now? The greater loss to the show, losing Steve or Michael?
What do you mean? Michael Scott, the character?
Yeah, like Steve was a great guy himself and was like our leader.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Steve Carell.
Yes.
What was the greater loss to the show, losing Steve Carell or losing Michael Scott?
Are you asking this question of everyone?
I've asked it a couple times.
That's a tricky question.
Yeah. Most of them have said that. I don't think I had anyone else not understand the question, but...
They're both... Well, it's a no-win situation. The question is a no... I can't be... I always want to be a hero at the end of the question. I always want people to say, look at that kid. Look at that Oscar Nunez. Let him continue doing what he's doing. He's wonderful. And now some people are going to say, well, you picked the wrong one. All right. Here's the deal. Let's see.
Losing Steve was difficult.
Yeah, but that character, man. That's the whole show, man. That's the whole show. There's no show without Michael Scott, without that boss.
But then there was.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same. That character is just so, and it's a perfect character, you know? And Ricky Gervais did it, and then there's just that smug, he thinks he's better and smarter and everything. Non-apologetic.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
After 9 years, were you happy with the resolution of Oscar running for state senator?
Yeah, I was fine. I think they put a lot of thought into it. They asked us for ideas all the time, and I'm like, you guys are fine. I have some ideas, but they're not great. You guys are fine.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I thought the show ended well.
Did you feel like when the show wrapped up, did you feel like it was time? Were you happy with how it wrapped up?
I am. I could not ask for more from Greg Daniels, and especially he's such a gentleman. He checked in with us. He doesn't have to do that. He's like, what do you guys think? I'm kind of done. And we're like, yeah, whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Well, it enabled us to tell the full story, too.
Yeah.
And the documentary being seen by the characters.
Nothing else to do. Yeah. I get a big kick. I know people want it back, and they keep asking us, and I'm like, guys, what? And if we go back, we might ruin it. What are we going to, right? What is there left to do?
Yeah.
They love the characters. I get it. They love the characters.
Well, we've talked about this a lot, that the show, it was the number one scripted show on NBC, yet the show now is more popular than it ever was. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. The kids love it.
Yeah.
Before, when we started doing these conferences that we started doing this year.
Yeah.
And people were coming in with 11-year-olds, and they're like, look, my kid watches the show. And I'm like, okay. And now it's 8. People are like, this 8-year-old is a fan of the show. I'm like, is that good? And they're like, yeah, they love it. It's fine. Kids love it. High school kids love it. College kids love it. You know, I get it. When I was growing up, for me, it was, believe it or not, The Odd Couple.
I thought The Odd Couple was like so funny. Right. Even before, you know, Taxi or Cheers, my head would have exploded if I would have ran into Tony Randall walking around, you know, the streets of New York City.
Is that where you learned to speak English, The Odd Couple?
No, I think it was The Flying Nun. Actually, I did learn English from TV.
Did you?
Yeah. But
what show did you, The Flying Nun taught you English?
No, my first memories of TV are a black and white TV show called Sing Along with Mitch. This is memories of Massachusetts and the Carol Burnett Show.
Right.
And I thought Harvey Korman was the funniest thing in the world. I'm like, I want to do what that guy does. I don't know what it is he's doing, but I want to do that. Yeah, Harvey Korman, and then Tony Randall was the other influence.
You are a lot like Harvey Korman.
He's the best.
I'm not playing a bit.
He's so funny. He would come out, and I loved, like, he would come, and I was little, and he would come out and do this bit where they were already on stage, like, doing a Civil War, whatever they were doing, Ken Berry and Carol Burnett in costume, and then he would make an entrance. Harvey Korman would make an entrance, and the audience would clap, and instead of going and joining them, he would pretend like he had no choice, like he would walk over and break the fourth wall and bow and like stay there 2 minutes, and Carol Burnett's on stage waiting. And my father would lose shit, and he's like, Oscar, he can't do that. They are waiting for him. But no, but he go and he bow. Come on, Saruman Beach. He can't do. And I'm like, oh, he's not really mad at him. He gets it. He gets it that he's breaking the fourth wall. And I'm like, oh, Harvey Korman, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. My dad's not mad at him. I'm like, all this shit's happening. I'm like, this is fun.
That's all going through your head.
Yeah.
Because that's one of your favorite bits now.
Yeah.
You've stolen it from Harvey Korman.
I stole it from Harvey Korman. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
And you got a little impression of my dad.
Yeah. I didn't know you could do that accent.
Sure.
What are you most thankful for about the show?
That Kevin Reilly said, let's give these guys a shot. Because it changed our lives, you know, and that wouldn't have happened if we didn't get like 2 seasons, 3 seasons. A pilot doesn't do anything. You still got to keep your day job. 1 season, but 5 seasons, 6 seasons, that makes your career, that makes your life, you know? So that's what I'm most thankful for. And people are like, oh, Ricky Gervais this, Ricky Gervais that. Well, thank you, Mr. Gervais, for your imagination, right? Him and Steve Merchant.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him most as the guy in the State Farm commercials, Oscar Nunez.
Is there an award for me or something here? Do you have something?
No.
Oh, man.
I just wanted to make a State Farm joke.
Okay.
That was literally all it was. That was where my brain went.
Some people only know me from the State Farm commercials.
Thank you. Truly. I think in the world, this is true now. I'm going to be nice for 1 second.
Okay.
In the world, no one makes me laugh as consistently and as often than you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And knowing that I'm funnier.
Well, there's the irony.
Well, there you have it. Now you all know what the real Oscar is actually like. Or do you? Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed that. Thank you so much for listening. And do I thank Oscar for joining me? It was an experience. And one that I'll remember. We're going to be back next week with another episode, which, I mean, who knows where that's going to take us. Things are getting weird here on The Office Deep Dive. Until then, everybody, have a great week. The Office Deep Dive is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Leng Lee. Our senior producer is Tessa Kramer. Our producer is Adam Macias. Our associate producer is Emily Carr, and our assistant editor is Diego Tapia. My main man in the booth is Alec Moore. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend Creed Bratton, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
This episode was brought to you in iHeart 3D Audio. To experience more podcasts like this, search for iHeart 3D Audio in the iHeart Radio app.